Hello, I'm Steve Davis. Welcome to this podcast for Australia's National Centre for Vocational Education Research. The interview you're about to hear is with Fran Ferrier from the Monash University ACER Centre for the Economics of Education and Training in response to the paper Vocational Education and Training Providers in Competitive Training Markets. Fran, along with colleagues Tom Dumbrell and Gerald Burke, investigated how the vocational education and training sector was faring in the wake of regulatory changes which began in the early 1990s, resulting in a more competitive sector. I began by asking Fran whether she thought the current regulatory framework was supporting or hindering VET providers.
They are being both hindered and supported by the regulatory framework. There were particular points brought to our attention where providers felt that some of the states engaged in restrictive practices which prevented them from competing fairly in the market. It was interesting that both the private and the public providers tended to think that the other had a better advantage in the market. But when we asked them about this in a little more depth, they both seemed to be doing quite well and to find ways of working around what they saw as hindrances. In many cases, they had actually got quite smart at saying, well, if we can't work this way, we'll do something else, or we can't take up an opportunity here for a particular reason, so we'll find another way of doing it. So they were being very creative about it.
And it's also clear from your report a number of VET providers are not only finding creative ways to survive within the current framework, but they've actually developed alternative funding models that are less reliant on public funding. Why is this such an important development?
Traditionally, most public providers have relied on government sources of funding. They're now very concerned about the stability of government funds. And so they're looking for opportunities to earn funds in many different places. For instance, they're going into partnerships with other providers. They're going into partnerships with particular enterprises, in some cases with industry bodies. They're doing all sorts of things that they can to earn money.
Fran, your report also focuses on thin markets and how they impact the VET sector. Could we start by defining what's actually meant by thin markets?
There are a number of different types of thin markets. So if we think about the VET system, it means there are either very few learners and or there are very few providers. So, for instance, if we have a geographical area, for instance, Australia has some very remote communities, and so there may be very few people there who want training. So that would be then a thin market for a VET provider. There may also be a thin market in a particular occupation. For instance, there are some occupations that are no longer as common as they used to be, like something like bootmaking or blacksmithing. So there's watchmaking is another one. So very few people want to actually go into those occupations. So there's a thin market there with very few learners. There can also be a thin market in a particular industry. One that comes to mind is forestry, partly because of where forestry industry is located. So there's very low turnover in the industry, which means there are not new people coming in, so there's not a great need for new training. It can also occur where there's been little technological development in an industry. So technological development will often drive a need for training, and if that's not occurring in an industry, then the need for training may be small.
If I read your report correctly, it suggests that thin markets are sometimes overstated as a device for limiting competition. Are VET providers doing this overstating, or is that tied more to the funding bodies like state governments?
They're more likely to be overstated by the states who have looked at historical patterns of training and training provision, and will define a thin market based on historical facts that no longer exist. So they then work according to their definition of a thin market. Now, it varies from state to state. Where providers get caught up in it is that some states impose restrictions on providers in thin markets that are as defined by the states, and there are often higher costs in thin markets because of the geographical challenges that they pose, all because there's few learners, and so costs are higher.
I'd like to turn now to another intriguing finding from your research. It was how few vet providers actually engage in cutting-edge research and development rather than just market research and the fine-tuning of training delivery. Now, among those few providers involved in traditional R&D, what sort of developments did you observe?
The areas in which they were engaged were interesting and really related to their interests and capabilities. One of them was a very strong staff capability in a vet provider in a marine area and aquaculture. And they were engaged in all sorts of research and development activities, which were leading to lots of benefits for the provider and for the staff there.
Just picking up on staff, your report suggests that where vet providers are engaged in innovative research and development, that there are positive spin-off effects for staff. What spin-off effects are you referring to?
I think the one that was mentioned most often to us was how it was very, very beneficial for staff development. And the particular staff who were involved were often highly qualified and highly sought after, highly skilled, and giving them opportunities to participate in this kind of work then gave the organisation a better chance to keep those staff, and they were very keen to keep them because of all the additional benefits that they gained from their work.
Thanks for listening to this podcast produced by the National Centre for Vocational Education Research. To download your copy of Vocational Education and Training Providers in Competitive Training Markets, go to www.ncver.edu.au.